Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Brand new, improved version of the Edgington Post Show, and I am Mark Edge here today with a good friend of mine. His name is Henry Raines, and Henry Raines, how long have you been broadcasting?
How long have I been broadcasting? Well, I think you mean since I very started, maybe around 2003. I started working with the Bud Beck Show in Bradenton, Florida, and then about a year later, I started American AM, which was a morning drive, and did it pretty much consecutively around Tampa Bay for 15 years or so.
So you've been broadcasting almost as long as I have. And you've been on Free Talk Live a few times. I've been on your show. There's some back and forth. But for people who haven't listened a lot, well, I want to do some introductions just so they know what they're talking about. Because I have an idea for that I'm working with you on for a new show. For something a little different. And currently, I'm using Edgington Post because, well, it's been around for a while and people have an expectation that it is recorded, so there won't be any live call-ins on this show. But really what I want to do is, let's start from the beginning here. So essentially, Free Talk Live is probably not going to be doing its weekday show as much live as it was before. Our main host, Ian Freeman, is going to sentencing here in the near future. We don't know what's going to be happening, and I think it's just easiest for everybody if we do some recorded shows for the time being. And not to say that other things can't happen in the future, but right now we're going to be doing recorded shows during the weekdays. And Edgington Post has always been recorded. And when Ian talked to me about this, when I kind of came up with the idea of doing recorded shows during the week, but he was like, what do we do here? You were the first person I called afterwards, right?
I guess so. I had that thought, but yeah, you told me something was coming.
Yeah, like you were the first person I called, and the reason is I've wanted to do a show with you for a long time, and the show I want to do is talking about the issue from different points of view. I'm afraid that way too much of media today, Free Talk Live included, is an echo chamber where people don't get their premises checked regularly. And it doesn't take much to see, in our world what happens with echo chambers. People just go wild and nuts. Just doesn't make any, the conclusions they come to begin to not make sense at all. And I think that, I think that people are better served when people who have different points of view on an issue, talk about them. And it's very easy for people, I'm not going to say two sides of an issue. There's many sides to any given issue. But it's very easy today for people to come to the conclusion that the other side is evil, stupid. I think those are generally the conclusions they come to.
Liars?
Okay, liars. Yes. I mean, do people really? I don't know. Maybe they do. Yeah, I generally come to the conclusion that if I'm hearing it on the mainstream media, it has already been thoroughly massaged, and that the reason I'm hearing any story on the mainstream media is because I'm supposed to be paying attention to that story and not the other story. Like there's some story out there that I actually should pay attention to, not whatever it is that I'm hearing.
Curve right away, Mark. And
go ahead.
Not to digress, but to go slightly off tangent on this, because
this show is going to be digressions.
But you just said, you know, the lead stories are what they want or what the media wants us to look at, and not the story that we really should be looking at. What I would just tweak that a little bit. Also, the lead story is what will make them the most money if we pay attention to that. And what we had in this last 20 years, as we become more online, looking at headlines on our phone, quick gratification and engagement, is not even the story, but the result, the active engagement from us that listen, us that read, us that watch. And so it incentivizes what I just said a little minute ago, lying. And we're not going to do it in this segment, but and maybe if we continue on, we'll do it more. But I've got a couple examples where
liars
are just blatant lies. And that's just what I wanted to interject, sort of as a tease, sort of as a preview, that I'd love to just talk about when how stupid do you they think we are that you can't even fact check the most obvious lies that they're throwing at you?
Yeah, I think that there is always this churn, this PR churn, right, where they're trying to get you going down this trail or that trail and those kind of things. And by day, I'm just basically talking about the two-party system. You know, like, I'm of the opinion that there is just bull crap that is put out constantly just to see what you're going to do. And we all know the news is built on catastrophes, right? I mean, you know, it's not the weatherman standing in front of a map that's got fire and tornadoes, you know, low pressures, high pressures, and all those kind of things. You know, they're doing anything to get you upset and thinking about stuff. But then the two parties just are throwing in their kind of, pay attention to this. And that's what I want to do is I want to expose the lies. I want to uncover the truth. And I think that we can do that better, or at least we can do that differently, you and I, by talking about issues from our point of view. So I'm going to describe my point of view and my biases right now, and I want you to then describe your point of view and your biases, okay? Because as long as we know that we've got biases, we can, at the very least, begin to have a conversation. Because all this just lobbing poop from one side of the fence to the other just is, it doesn't get anywhere. And at some point or another, you just get tired of listening to it. I do, anyway.
You know, Mark,
so my book,
you remember my dad. My dad passed away almost 30 years ago. But you got to know him somewhat in your youthful days. And he had a saying that I remember from the 60s when he would say it, and I was just a little kid, but it speaks to what you're saying. He goes, "I'm not prejudiced, I'm just biased." You're right. I know it's healthy, true. Know your biases and then just work within that ecosystem of biases that you have.
Yeah, Hank was, I think for those that don't know Hank, it's probably worth just saying, Hank was a salt of the earth kind of guy. He fought in Saipan and more than one theater in the Pacific in World War II, and you know, didn't much shake him.
Much shaping?
He didn't much shake him.
Oh, okay. All right, I see what you just said.
Yeah.
All right.
And this is what I added buttons for.
he was quite a unique person, and we'll explore that as the time goes by, and we'll take in that. But that was a lot of things that he said, as we often find with our parents. You find, he or she, if it was your mom, yeah, that actually made a lot more sense to me than when I heard it in my youth. So, but continue. What are your biases, Mark? I thought you were much more.
For anybody who's familiar with Free Talk Live, my bias is libertarian, right? I just like that term. I think it works for where I'm at. I'm not the radical that Ian is. And Ian likes to use the term voluntarist to describe himself, and that means to him that he wants all human interaction to be voluntary. I think that that's his laudable goal. And I am looking forward to that. However, I think that probably the best things we can do is to attempt to achieve the best possible result today. Like, for instance, I found that libertarians often look at a problem and want to take it down to first principles and then build it back up. Well, this system sucks. Let's tear it all down and restart. And generally what I found is humans don't work that way. That you kind of have to work with the way things are and make whatever modifications you're going to make if you have any expectation of things happening. And Free Talk Live has seen some real positive pro-liberty changes over the course of the world in the last 20 years. Now, I'm not claiming we did it just because we were broadcasting, but we were here. So, you know, for what that's worth, I also have run for office three times at the very least I can think of off the top of my head, three times that I won as a Republican. And, you know, I mean, am I Republican every issue, every time? No, by no means. But I'm probably, if you ask two people to, you know, bring in two party pundits, one from each side, and they start asking me questions, at the end of the half an hour, I think that the Democrat's going to say, you can have that one, to the Republican. And, you know, that's kind of where it's at. Now, I think you're not the same.
No, but just to comment for a second on where you left off is that I would not be surprised by that observation because up until, I don't know, about 5 years ago, the libertarian, there was a libertarian streak in the Republican Party that was much more pronounced than it is now. I would suggest that there is an anti-liberty streak in some segments of the Republican Party now that was not very prominent prior to last 4 or 5 years. In fact, there's a lot of things that we'll explore that the pendulum has swung, the pendulum of excess has swung back and forth from Democratic Party to Republican Party or from liberal to conservative or what have you, and we'll explore that. But
yeah, I think that, let me address that real quick. Having broadcast on Free Talk Live, our show's been on since 2002, and so we're over 20 years on Free Talk Live specifically. And we started during George Bush. It was post 9/11, and we got called liberals and sounded Democrat all the time. We were, you know, anti-Iraq war. We were anti-war generally. And during the Bush administration, we were, by the listener's standards, a bunch of crazy liberals. And then when Obama went into office, we got heat from the Democrats over and over again. Now, I don't think Obama achieved as much because of the makeup of the House and Senate most of the time he was in. But, I'm certainly thoroughly against Obamacare. And, we got called conservatives. And then when Trump came in, we got called liberals again, and now we're conservatives again. And I'm looking forward to the day of getting called liberal again or whatever.
I'm looking forward to the day we get to parse this whole Obamacare thing and tear that apart, but there isn't going to be time on this first show to do that. But
no.
We are very diametrically of different opinions on that.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've got different opinions on a lot of things, and I think that the listeners will get, you know, and that's the other thing that I wanted to say here, Henry, on this particular issue is that, A, I have nothing but the deepest respect for you, and B, you're a smart guy, right? Like, I can't hem you up by saying, well, you're dumb, and certainly don't believe the same about myself, right? Like, I believe that I am both a smart guy and that worthy of respect. So the idea here is that we'll be tearing apart ideas, not each other. And I see there's too much of that out there. You know, every once in a while, somebody needs a check on their personality. But I have too much respect for you to just go try to beat you up on the air. You know, I've known you for way too long. And, you know, I already know that you know the issues. I already know that you're giving it the best thought and your best effort, right? You're not out to play, and so that's why I'm on the air with you, because I have you're the Democrat I have the highest respect for.
Well, and the question it begs the question, you know, how can they have such different opinions if they both have if they're both supposed to be smart guys and they're both supposed to respect each other? But that reminds me of a moment in one of the years I was broadcasting. And, of course, actually to broadcast on the radio in 2003 and 2004 and into even 5, 6, 7, people have to remember MSNBC hadn't even really established itself. Keith Olbermann was like the tip of the spear on the direction that MSNBC was going to go. So you didn't really have an ardent Democratic Party advocate. And I wasn't a Democratic Party advocate per se, at least as a reason for existence of my show. It was much more coming out of the anti-Iraq war motivation. But by the time I had been on the air for, say, 3 years or so, and people had thought they had pigeonholed me, I said something that I thought wouldn't be that controversial to people, because it wasn't even a policy issue. But I was giving the example of people that were anti-abortion, stridently anti-abortion. And I was comparing it to people that were stridently anti-war. And what I said was that people will come to different conclusions because of a different life experience, so that some people will come, as I was just trying to say, will view things through their experiences, and they'll come to an exact opposite from someone they're very comparable to who has different experiences. Well, maybe we'll get a chance in the next segment or so to talk about why those experiences are. But it was simply that. I said, you know, if this is how your life experience shaped you, you're going to come to this conclusion. If this is how your experience shaped you, you're going to come to a different conclusion on the same issue. And, boy, you would have thought, even though it was radio, people looked at me like I had turds coming out of my mouth as I said that, because the regular callers, the regular listeners came in, how can you possibly say that? And to me, that isn't even that a controversial thing, that different life experiences will lead to different life conclusions. Mark?
I think you're absolutely right. I think it comes down to big three personality. Excuse me, big five.
Okay, and well, given that, we still got a few more minutes here before we have to go to break. So, do you want me to talk about my biases?
Yeah, talk about your biases.
Life experience.
We'll get into personality, but basically, there's five character traits that they call the big five, and those, you know, they're somewhat hereditary. They're somewhat environmental, and they just sort of dictate how somebody's going to make a choice.
Okay. So what I would say is that the first thing that you would do to say, well, where do those biases come from? You have to talk about where and when I grew up. So right now I'm a definite boomer. I'm at the height, born at the height of the baby boom, which would have been 1957. So when I
was born, so I was born in 71,
which is a so different thing. But so yeah. I would have been, let's see, 63. So I would have been about 5 years old when the Cuban Missile Crisis happened, when your TV was constantly telling you about a nuclear Armageddon that was going to happen, and you, as a five-year-old, would internalize that. A couple years later, or not quite a couple years later, say 65, was going to be the riots that happened around the United States, the race riots, if you will, or the riots for civil rights, the marches, the peaceful protests, the Martin Luther King Jr. on like the evening news on TV all the time. I traveled around the South with my dad. He sold industrial products, paper mills, which was a Southern industry. And I went to dinner in the summer times when we were on vacation with the plant managers and what would be considered the engineers and the management class around the South, and I would hear their versions. And the whole civil rights struggle was a big influence on me. And, we don't have to run through all the history, but by the height of the Summer of Love in 1967, I was 10 years old, and the hippie movement was going on. So those are things that formed me, and we can talk maybe after the break, and it comes up in a minute or so. We'll go into other stories, and I'm sure the other influences will come out as we talk to each other over the course of time. And Mark, what do you want to take us into the break with?
Well, I think we should get into some show prep, and I think that it's very, very interesting that not only can the drug warriors and the DEA and those that perpetrate the drug war on the American people not keep drugs out of their own prisons, they can't keep them out of the White House. The secure building in all of America, there was cocaine. We're not talking about weed here. Weed's been smoked in the White House before. But cocaine in the White House.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked, Mark. Cocaine in the White House?
Yeah.
I'll
bet it's not the first time either.
All right. Well, important questions like that. Whose cocaine was it? What else did they find with it? Did they ever find everybody? We have those details coming up for you. And much, much more of that. We've got other important items coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The man accused in some of New York's long unsolved Gilgo Beach serial killings is pleading not guilty. Rex Huerman is charged with three murders and has been assigned an attorney.
It's really hard for us to comment, other than it's important to know that when somebody's charged with a crime, you have to afford them the presumption of innocence.
At least 10 sets of human remains, mostly young female prostitutes, were found on Long Island, along or near Gilgo Beach, more than a decade ago. Officials added the investigation is ongoing. More than 90 million people across the U.S. are under heat warnings and advisories. El Paso, Texas has seen triple-digit temperatures. Residents in Phoenix, Arizona have spent 13 days in a row with temperatures over 110 degrees. Are you ready for Mega Millions? $560 million tonight. Dave Collins, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And it's another edition of the Edging to Post Show. I am Mark Edge with you today. I've got with me Henry Raines. Thank you for joining me, Henry.
Hey there. Glad to be here. Or with you, or
and
from you, or whatever this is considered.
And we're trying to do a different kind of show here, brought to you by Free Talk Live. But not only is Free Talk Live kind of making the show possible, but so is another sponsor, and that sponsor is Dash Digital Cash. So this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. And I've used Dash a great deal in Keene, New Hampshire. We were able to buy hamburgers and haircuts and get your car fixed and all kinds of things when I was living there. Really great to use, fast, easy. The transactions happen very quickly. The transaction fees are less than 1 cent. They're instant, irreversible, protected from 51% attacks by chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous network. And BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get, easy to use. You can start with Dash by learning more at dash.org, D-A-S-H, dash.org. And thank you to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash. It's dash.org.
And Mark,
I have to say that disclaimer exactly that way, by the way.
Okay. Just quickly, now, as we were talking at this moment in time, did you see this afternoon about the surge of crypto and why?
No. Can you tell me about it? I haven't been paying attention.
SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, lost the case that they had with Ripple as whether or not Ripple would be considered a security. And that's going to, pun intended, ripple through the other types of crypto, and that whole question of when they created, is it a security or not? At least you can't project to any individual one, but at least you know it's not going to be just a slam dunk that the SEC says it's a security and, you know, just hang it up. They can be beaten.
There's a God in heaven.
Well, I don't know if he cares about that, but or she cares about that or whatever. But
you don't think God cares about the exchange?
What pronouns is God using these days?
I think that it would depend on the language that one uses, that God doesn't have much care for pronouns. But in some cases, God has been a she. In some cases, God has been a he. In some languages, God has been an it. So, you know.
Well, that's something that maybe we'll have a chance to unwind later in the program.
But yes, well, there's nothing I love talking about more than pronouns.
Well, who doesn't? Except maybe cocaine.
Let's talk about feuding some things and, you know, corruption of the government. There's something that's kind of futile and undoing. It looks like there was some cocaine found in the White House, and all fingers appear to be pointing towards Hunter Biden.
For no good reason other than just he's a recovering addict, at least last...
Recovering, is he?
Well, I mean, until it's proven otherwise, I'm willing to... Do you go into the AA meeting and when they say I'm a recovering alcoholic, you say, well, yeah, really? You gotta cut a little slack on that. But
if I had seen them at the bar last night.
Say that again?
If I'd seen them in the bar last night, I might.
Well, I don't know. Again, you're thinking an awful lot, but yes. Like they like to say at the AA meetings, if you go into a barbershop enough times, you'll get a haircut.
Indeed you will. Personally, I'm not much of a drinker, but I can say that I certainly drank more in my life. My question would be is the genuineness of recovery, right? Like somebody could be drinking right now and still be in recovery. You know, like, these things exist. You can be attempting to recover from addiction or whatever and be drinking at this moment.
Well, I think you're putting the straw before the line in this discussion, Mark.
All right.
We need to be a little bit more chronological in what we're talking about here because we've already raised the question about Hunter. But first, we need to tell people what we're raising the question about. Because a baggie of cocaine was found in a lobby at the White House. Many people have already heard about this. It was found during a routine sweep of the White House. I think
now, when you say it was a lobby, I heard it was a room that Hunter stayed in. And we know that the news isn't always great.
That's
exactly what I heard. I'm not prepared to check my answers. So I'm telling you what I've heard. And I think that we should address all points in the story. And that's what I can't tell you where I heard it.
Well,
that's the best I can do.
Let's address the official record, and then we can talk about whatever the lying liar said about it.
Okay,
and so this is from the Associated Press. This is the story of record, the official story. Not necessarily.
I gotcha. There's not much you can say otherwise. If the AP reports it, what are we supposed to do?
Well, that's the starting point.
You
start with the conventional wisdom, and then you go unconventional if the wisdom leads you there.
I mean, it is accurate to say that I stayed in the lobby of any given hotel that I was in, right? Because I was there in the lobby for a period of time. But that certainly leads one to a different conclusion than lobby, right? There's the word lobby and stayed, and they bring you to a different conclusion about the room.
Well, let's get past the first paragraph here.
Oh, I don't do that very well. This could take us all night.
It was a lobby of the White House. It was a baggie of cocaine. It does not say how much big the baggie was. My bias is that I think it was would be more likely to be in the a gram to an eight ball kind of baggie, like I've seen in the movies.
An eight ball is not a metric measurement, by the way.
Well, no, I went from the started with the metric with the gram, switched to the eight ball to go pay a little tribute to the English system of weights and measures. But I do want to get to the second sentence, that it was found on a routine White House sweep on July 2nd. So that's what it was found. It's July 13th as we speak, the evening of. And
so we've got at least 11 days worth of recovery here.
Yes, it's an in-depth investigation, which included a sophisticated FBI crime lab analysis, the AP's adjective, not mine. And it was the heavily trafficked West Wing lobby where staff go in and out and tour groups gather to drop their phones and their belongings. And what better place to drop your cocaine than with your phone? You know, those important life items that you carry around.
Well, to be clear, I've had to deal with contraband at certain circumstances. And one of the places to deal with it is like, oh, crap, I have this bag of cocaine in my pocket. I'll hide it here and then go through the scanner or whatever, right?
Did the scanner pick up a little baggie of cocaine?
Well, they're going to, I don't know, maybe they're searching people. I don't know what they do at the White House when they're, giving you the once-over before you go in. It's been a long time. I don't know that I've never been to the White House.
Well,
By the way, I'm unlikely to be invited.
The summary, a one-sentence summary from the report, although there's more to it than this, without physical evidence, the investigation will not be able to single out a person of interest from the hundreds of individuals who passed through the vestibule where the cocaine was discovered, which is Secret Service said in the summary. This is the paraphrasing of other parts of the summary. Most likely the bag was left behind by one of the hundreds of visitors who traveled in. I don't know why they discounted that it was anybody in the staff, but there may be reasons for that.
Because they're government workers, and they have no higher respect for government workers.
Anyway, that was said by a person not authorized to talk about the probe, but was familiar with it, which is how a lot of things get revealed. Republicans jumped on this. Kevin McCarthy, the House Speaker, said there is no equal justice. Anything revolving around Biden Incorporated gets treated different. And I guess he has given up on the use of adverbs. I would have said gets treated differently than any other American. the White House Press Secretary Karine
Jean-Pierre. That's that whole thing about painting the other side as stupid, just so you know.
The White House Press Secretary said it was incredibly important for the Secret Service to get to the bottom of the drugs. Oh, I'm sorry, not to get to the bottom of the drugs, get to the bottom of how the drugs ended up in the White House.
By the way, the Secret Service has gotten to the bottom of a lot of drugs. I mean, there's plenty of stories about the Secret Service.
Biden, I think they believe, they're talking about the president, although the sloppy writing of the AP doesn't put a which Biden here is in the sentence, but Biden was at Camp David with members of his family for the holiday weekend. The complex was briefly evacuated because the white powder could have been a biohazard. The bag was sent for secondary sensitive lab analysis with Homeland Security's National Biodefense Analysis and Countermeasures Center, which, they were taking this seriously. More forensic testing, Lab results didn't show any latent fingerprints or DNA. Video of the West Executive Street lobby entrance did not identify the person. You know, I guess
whoever dropped their bag.
Yeah.
Whoever dropped their bag had the good sense to make sure it was wiped clean before they got rid of it.
But so.
So it leaves me asking a couple of questions. I guess my question would be, and it's not one that you're likely to have an answer to, is if tours start in this room, do they end in this room? Because if they end in a different room, which is completely possible, then they may, then the person wouldn't have come back and picked up their, it would be a visitor, right? They didn't pick up their cocaine.
My hypothesis is they do finish up there because they have to pick up their phones.
Okay.
And that would be when the person realizes if they didn't do it intentionally, that looks a lot like my cocaine. And I don't think I want to pick it up right here.
Right. Okay, that's another possibility.
Or maybe they said, wow, that looks like a lot like my cocaine. Wonder if that person's around to party with. But but I do think the snap rush to judgment, to Hunter Biden. Not that I have an opinion of his continued sobriety or not, whether it's an ongoing thing or not. It's just unlikely that he would have been out there with all the common folks dropping his cocaine around. I know he's a little sloppy with laptops, but there's a higher priority of what you maintain and keep a hold of. So I guess he's a little sloppy with firearms, too, but anyway.
Well, there's some sad stories of some people playing with firearms on video. It's not a good idea. Firearms are not toys, kids. It sounds very much to me like this was the cocaine of somebody visiting the White House, and that Republicans are going to make hay during an election, election season. Just like the Democrats are. But this is one of those stories that ought to be ignored, other than the lesson that drugs have won the war on drugs.
We did win?
Drugs won.
Well, drugs have won the war on drugs.
Yeah. Drugs won the war on drugs. Is my audio coming through well?
Yeah, no, I am just pondering that. It's not that you're... I'm not hearing you. It's that I'm just, it's the profoundness of it all has to be absorbed. Sort of a pregnant pause in my listening to you.
And, it's not like drugs have won without casualties. There's a lot of casualties. Fentanyl is a terrible drug and killing lots of people. I love to tell this story, and I never miss an opportunity to do it. A good friend of mine, he was the chief in the fire department that I worked for eight years or something like that. And he also worked in the bigger town of Keene, New Hampshire, as a regular firefighter. He picked up a guy. They had to jump start him. Obviously, every time they jump start, give somebody any kind of resuscitation, they take him to the hospital. And so they dropped him off. They went to another call. They picked somebody else up and brought him to the emergency room. As they were going into the emergency room, he noticed the guy checking himself out of the hospital. Nothing unusual for a fentanyl addict to be checking themselves out after getting jump started. They're like, hey, whatever. They're dropping this other person off. They go to another call, and it was a busy day. And then I think it was their fourth call of the day. It was this guy. We got to him, and sadly, he didn't survive this one. So he died twice in one day. And that drug, it's terrible. Bad stuff happens, and you can't mess around with these things. If you got one life, and you might as well live it to its fullest, and it doesn't include that stuff. Sad story.
Yes. And just to go off on a slight tangent here, so have you followed some of these stories? You know, Mark, you've been around long enough to see it, and I've certainly seen the media stories. You know, it's like every 5 or 10 years, there's got to be a wave of media stories about whatever the latest scary drug is.
Yeah.
And I remember, well, like as we talked about,
crack,
chronological
ice, crank, they did it all, yeah.
Yeah, in the 60s, you know, you had all kinds of drugs that came to light, and there was the different warnings about those, and then...
Well, if you want to go back further, they did temperance plays on alcohol. If you just get a chance to watch one of these temperance plays, it bears no resemblance to what you've seen as far as alcohol consumption in your life. And, I'm not saying they're entirely fake. What's that?
Well, I don't know about that because I haven't seen those. So give me an example.
Well, I can tell you the song. There's one song that was on the Muppets, and I love it. Cigarettes and whiskey and wild, wild women. They'll drive you crazy. They'll drive you insane. And then that just repeats. But
that's the temperance song?
It's a temperance song, yeah.
That sounds like a promotional song.
it's a lot like that. But I did see a temperance play at the Old Home Day in Swansea, New Hampshire. I don't think most places have stuff like this, but the Old Home Day is that week of the summer that you're supposed to return home to the place you're from or your parents are from or whatever and just enjoy the festivals and that kind of thing, just to experience your town again. And at this one, it was, I mean, this guy's lying in the gutter. You'd think everybody who ever drank a sip of liquor ended up in the gutter. But yeah, there you are.
To come back to where I was starting. So anyway, in the 60s you had that. And then, you know, when powdered cocaine, which sort of brings us to the story we're on, became very popular. The Studio 54 days, a lot of media attention there. Then we segued into crack cocaine, which there's a whole backstory on that with the Iran-Contra scandal and the CIA and things like that that maybe someday we'll talk
about. The government was bringing us drugs.
Right. And then, we've gotten the pill mills and then the fentanyl. Well, heroin was...
Well, and don't forget the Afghan war.
Have you seen the stories about xylazine, known as Trank, and some of the videos of people that are allegedly on it?
No, I miss all this kind
of
stuff.
It's called a zombie drug.
Huh?
So when I read the print stories about it, I was like, okay, here, this just the drug of the decade that we're going to talk about, or the drug of the half decade we're going to talk about. And then I saw the videos of some of these neighborhoods, and the people really do look like zombies. I've seen plenty of, like Needle Park type stories where the junkies get together to shoot up or there's open drug use, open drug sales, but they look like people that are shooting up drugs and getting high and getting very high, maybe passing out. Don't see people that are standing bent over like zombies, motionless.
I guess I have seen some pictures of this and just didn't know whether it was just somebody drunk or whatever the case is. I'm sorry for being square, but I just, it's not the thing that I spend my time considering. I think drugs are bad, but I think the war on drugs is worse. That we've incarcerated generations of Americans that could be otherwise productive and for nothing. You know, that essentially we have the same percentage of the population zonked out on wham whams and zoom zooms as we did 100 years ago. It's just different wham whams and zoom zooms.
As you said that about the war on drugs, it's not labeled as a war on drugs, but 2 days ago the Biden White House announced his plan to reduce Trank dope deaths. And I think that's their euphemism or their phrase that they came out, because none of the other
drugs
called, in quotation marks, Trank dope. There's like Trank zombie drug, and that seems to be the the way it's phrased here. But
yeah, another square coming up with the name du jour. The Biden administration is going to be as successful at this as any other administration has been at stopping drug use, which is to say terrible.
So to pitch to you with very little time to be able to talk to this, what if when I've talked to people about sitting in with you and I say, yes, it's the number one libertarian show, two decades of serving their audience and people talk about libertarian and it's sort of like, oh, people just become libertarian because they want to do drugs or have sex.
What's the Republican that wants to do drugs? Is what a libertarian is? I'd say libertarians are far more principled on the issues of economics than the Republicans ever were. I think that the Republicans, when they start talking about economics, are lying, but they use it as cover for their graft. And that's the difficulty is that the Democrats lie about caring about people. And the Republicans lie about caring about economics.
I bet they care about some people.
I bet they do.
Mark, we've got almost to the end of the hour here. We've got two more hours coming up. Where are we going to go next hour?
Well, we've got all kinds of show prep. And, Henry, I'm going to let you pick the next one. That's what I think we're going to do.
Oh.
You got any ideas?
Yes, I do. I was thinking about pronouns, but I think I want to go to Robert Kennedy Jr. He's getting a lot of press these days. And you want a crisis manager for president. And he managed a crisis just the other day when he was stuck in a room full of drunk, screaming, and farting old white guys. And if that isn't a crisis for you, I'll tell you it's going to be a crisis situation for me.
I kind of like our.
If I
kind of like RFK. I gotta say, I'm kind of like RFK. So let's talk about this.
Have you talked to him on your show before?
He was at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. To my knowledge, we have not had him on Free Talk Live. We tend not to interview politicians.
All right. Well, we'll find out more about that in just a few minutes.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit partdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.